And we are joined right now by Padres assistant GM Josh Stein here on a Friar Friday. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Going well, man. I wonder if you were listening a few weeks back when I was on vacation in Kauai Deadline, and everyone in town was really excited. I know you were excited, and AJ was excited, but there was one guy stood alone about his lack of excitement for the moves, and it was Ben Higgins. Did you hear that morning show and your boss absolutely roast him?
I heard the tail end of it. I didn't hear Ben's take at the beginning, but I did hear kind of AJ's response to it.
It was, excuse me for being at least measured in my approach. Now, it's gone pretty well the last month, Josh. I must say that the moves have worked out. What's your take on how well the moves have worked out so far for your team?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously we went into that kind of period of time in the season with some real, you know, what we felt were, you know, needs to address on the roster, and we're able to address those, you know, really, you know, kind of in a, you know, what we felt was a pretty creative fashion. And then, you know, to be able to go out and, you know, add, you know, a pitcher like Mason Miller, you know, to what was already a, you know, great strength of the team, you know, that was kind of the capper. I know, you know, kind of the sequence of events and the kind of the order of it, you know, might not have made, you know, all the sense in the world as it was happening, but, you know, kind of, you know, what our vision was and what we were kind of trying to line up throughout the course of that week. And, you know, that morning in particular, we had a pretty good idea of, you know, being able to address all the needs of the club.
No, it was certainly a frenetic day, as it oftentimes is at the trade deadline for the San Diego Padres, Josh. And, you know, I wanted to ask you this, and this isn't to denigrate anybody that's been here before. This is just, it seems like the guys that you added fit in immediately, right? It didn't feel square peg, round hole. You know, it was like, let's acquire this guy because, well, I mean, we can. Like, these were needs. You guys addressed them. But I think the character and the makeup of these guys maybe is different than anybody we've seen. And they just seem to fit so seamlessly in this lineup and with this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's, you know, I agree with you, and I think that's a, you know, it's certainly intentional and on a couple of fronts. I think, you know, obviously in the scouting of these players and, you know, trying to identify, you know, not just their physical abilities, but who they are as players, you know, maybe their journeys to get to the spot that they've gotten to, you know, whether it's, you know, like an all-star season from a, you know, a Ryan O'Hearn or, you know, like a Freddie Fermin who's been, you know, backing up a Hall of Fame catcher. But, you know, I think we were, you know, very intentional in terms of, you know, looking for players that, you know, we felt would, you know, fit with the team that we had based on certainly skill set. That's always going to be, you know, the driving factor, but also, you know, the roles and, you know, competitive situations that they may have been in the past and, you know, would be coming into. And then, you know, I know Mike's talked about it and, you know, Schulte, and I think this is a very important element as well, you know, blending, you know, the new players with, you know, players on our team that may be, you know, facing somewhat diminished roles and, you know, working through that, you know, as a coaching staff and as an organization. I mean, there's an art to that. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's something that, you know, that we've done very well here, especially this year. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's when you look at the byproduct and you see kind of the guys saying the right things and, you know, it seeming to fit together well. I think it's a function of those two things, like identifying those people at the front end and then, you know, having a situation, a team, an environment that's, you know, prepared, you know, when they do show up and walk through those doors.
You know, I've noticed that sometimes, Josh, the move that flies under the radar turns out to be more impactful than we as fans imagine. We talked so much about Mason Miller and, of course, Ramon Laureano and Freddie Fermin and Ryan O'Hearn that the Nestor Cortes trade seemed like kind of a bit of an afterthought. It's a Brandon Lockridge, who, of course, you know, we enjoyed here but wasn't playing a critical role with the team. And then Nestor Cortes is coming off a great start against the Dodgers, gets another big one tonight. But you also got a prospect in that deal. So
yeah.
I'm curious about that one because we're hearing good things about Jorge Quintana and what he's done since just the brief time he's been in the Padres system. Tell me more about that trade and who you picked up in that deal as well.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the more, I would say, unique ones just because, you know, Nestor was on an extended rehab assignment and had been on the 60-day IL, was really, you know, spent the bulk of the year on the IL coming back from a forearm injury. And I think, again, you always learn in these jobs and in these roles. And, I think that, there's the adage, you can never have, too much pitching. And I go back to, a few years ago, us deciding to kind of roll with what we felt was a lot of very good, young, starting pitching, and felt like we had enough to withstand. And almost immediately, after the deadline, we had a couple of our starters go down with injuries, and you're sitting there saying, wow, we've got to go to the waiver wire. We've got to look to recently release players. And so, part of it is part of that trade and part of really going out and, we knew we were going to be trading some of our starting pitching depth, in some of these trades, and knowing that not only did we need to replenish to get back to five starting pitchers, but like, you really need to think beyond that, right? You need to say, hey, what if, this doesn't happen, or this pitcher, isn't able to come back from injury. So, I think getting Nestor, and getting that depth, certainly a veteran pitcher that's pitched in a lot of big games, big situations, someone that when he's healthy and takes the ball, we have a ton of confidence in. And then, to your question about Jorge Quintana, I mean, that's, there was a couple teams that were really interested in Brandon Lockridge, and, so we were able to, leverage that and talk about, getting something back in addition to Nestor Cortes in that deal. And, we had a lot of back and forth with the Brewers, in those morning hours, and probably exchanged, I don't know, half a dozen names, and ultimately got to a player in Jorge Quintana that, we have scouted down in Arizona, Matt Thomas, our scout down there. It gets back to really being where the players are that you can acquire, right? And scouting the players that you can acquire. And so, even though Jorge Quintana doesn't have a long track record in professional baseball, he's someone that we've seen and we're interested in, and, plays a, is really a plus defender up the middle, switch hitter. We're intrigued by some things that he can do offensively, but also just great makeup, great personality that we've seen, both before and after acquiring him. And yeah, when you can add a player like that at the same time as acquiring starting pitching depth, it's a real win for the organization.
Talking to Padres assistant GM Josh Stein here on Ben and Woods this morning. And Josh, you look at the rankings that come out after you guys trade a bunch, and maybe 7 years ago when we first started doing this together as a show, I think the panic would have set in. And based on your track record, AJ's track record, the last couple of years, I mean, this is like the fourth year in a row. Everyone has said they don't have the prospects to trade, so they're not going to be able to do much at the deadline. And lo and behold, you added everything you really needed to make a push. So now it sits at number 30 out of 30. I know how you guys view it as a challenge, a challenge. So when does, I'm sure it's already started, but like, walk us through what you want to do to get that number back up to, something that you guys are happy and comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, it is a challenge, and that's a good word for it. I don't think it's unique to the Padres, and I certainly don't think it's not one that we haven't, faced before. I mean, I'll say this. I mean, in the probably, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours after the deadline, we're all kind of sitting there dazed. The adrenaline's kind of worn off. And Chris Kemp, who, again, I mean, you talk about, what you have to give up in these trades, right? We're trading, whether it's Leo DeRees or whether it's Boston Bateman, and a number of players that we drafted, and we get invested in these players, right? We scout them, we get to know them, we get to know their families. Chris is very invested in these players, but Chris Kemp gets up in the front of the room and starts just writing and ranking our top 30 prospects, and are kind of sitting there all watching, maybe a few people weighing in, and looking at the state of our current farm system. And I think the general feeling is there's still a lot there.
Yep.
I mean, we don't feel like we have a barren farm system at all. Ultimately, the public rankings are what they are. What we've often maintained, and what you probably heard AJ talk about, is if teams are calling us and engaging with us in trade discussions, they tend to be interested in the players that we have in our farm system, so I think that speaks really to the continued strength. I'm not going to say we're a top 10 farm system in the game right now, but I also, I don't frankly agree with, you know, the current rankings that are out there. But getting back to your question, I mean, yeah, it is a it's an everyday challenge in baseball operation. It's one that, you know, I think we all embrace. It's one that, you know, whether it's Chris Kemp overseeing our amateur and international scouting group and them, you know, texting almost immediately, getting on the horn, being like, all right, time to reload. Let's get after it. And, you know, getting out to the next amateur showcase, or, you know, it's Pete DeYoung and, you know, right now overseeing our pro scouting group and, you know, really focused on, okay, you know, who are the looks that we need to get, you know, over the next, you know, month, month and a half while the minor league season's going on, because, you know, we're going to be shortly getting into Rule 5 draft discussions. We're going to be talking about minor league free agents, and certainly augmented by, you know, very strong research and development department and analysts that are always flagging and identifying, you know, interesting candidates to go for our scouts to go out and, you know, see. So it really is like a, you know, it is a challenge. It's a everyday process. It doesn't change just because we've, you know, we've traded a number of prospects. And I think that, you know, that a lot of that stems back to, you know, just AJ's philosophy of, you know, of a scouting and player development driven organization, and identifying players every year. You know, we talk about it a lot. We cannot miss in the draft. We can't miss. Every organization could say that, but yeah. I think it's a mantra that we really try and live by, and treat that as one of the most important days of every year.
It's true. We were laughing about it earlier, going through the box scores yesterday, and just seeing how many former Padres and Padres pitchers appeared in games yesterday. Oh, there's Adam Mazur. Oh, there's Stephen Wilson.
Yeah, we
there's
talk Abby. About it. Yeah.
Just all over the place. But, you know, speaking of pitching for next season, just quickly, I wanted to ask you this. With Burgert and Kolek and Braden Nett all traded, King and Cease free agents to be, who do you have in the organization that you identify either in the minor leagues or in the bullpen that could be potential starters for you guys next year?
Yes, I mean, it's a good question, man. I think, like, we're, you know, we do expect to get a, you know, a pretty good one back in Joe Musgrove. So that's going to be a big, you know, big one that we anticipate slotting back in. And yeah, we did trade, you know, some of our upper level pitching depth. You know, obviously we did also backfill it, and, you know, whether it's, you know, a JP Sears, who we're going to have, you know, here in this organization, you know, for a number of years moving forward. You know, these guys aren't really, I wouldn't consider them minor leaguers, but, you know, Randy Vasquez, JP Sears, obviously Matt Waldron, what he did last year, and still having a lot of faith, especially in Matt, you know, with the knuckleball, more probably, you know, at the major league level than in some of the AAA ballparks that he's had to pitch in. But, you know, going a level below, you know, some of those names that I know, you know, fans are very familiar with. I mean, you know, one player we, you know, we're very high on, that got asked about a number of trades that we did not move as a starter at AA, Miguel Mendez, 23 years old, another, you know, kind of under the radar international scouting find, and, you know, in the upper 90s, and, you know, as a wipeout slider, a good developing changeup, you know, someone that we think very highly of. There's other starters there as well. Jagger Haynes, you know, Eric Yost, guys that, you know, we've promoted, you know, this year up to that AA level. So, you know, again, that is the challenge, and it'll always be the challenge, is to replenish that starting pitching depth. I think to your point, you know, Ben, in terms of like relievers, I think that's something, you know, we've always had an eye on, right? You know, whether it was transitioning Stephen Kolek this year, you know, Michael King last year, Seth Lugo. I think that's something that we do have an eye on as an organization, and, you know, feel like, you know, with Ruben, Ben Fritz, our entire kind of pitching group, excuse me, it's an area that, you know, that we can continue to look at guys. I have a few ideas.
Yeah,
probably
you don't
not
have to
share
my
hand
all.
In terms of who those are right
it,
now.
Josh.
But,
that's fine.
That's for us to speculate.
We appreciate
Steiner.
It, Josh.
Thank
it's
you,
always great to have you on a Friar Friday. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you both.
Appreciate it.
Josh Stein, Padres assistant GM.